What I want to share on is going to be possibly two parts. In other words, I may share one part of it right now, and then maybe next week I'll share part two. So, you know, fasten your seatbelts, because this week it's part one, and part one is the negative side. But is that always bad? And part two is the positive side. And they kind of go together. So, you know, you don't want to miss one without the other. You certainly don't want to listen to this first one and then not have more. But nonetheless, so the title of this sharing, this blog today, is Why Does God Have Us Wearing Masks? Or another subtitle could be, God said, I am so over these masks. So we want to really get into what the scripture says about that, more specifically what Jesus does. So if you will, turn with me to Book of Matthew, chapter 15, and verse 7 through 9. And again, this scripture would be a little rough at first, but this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, but he's quoting Isaiah, because Isaiah was using this language too. And starting with verse 7, Jesus says, Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So Jesus is really the main contrast that's going on here is Jesus and what he's saying they're saying with their mouth, as opposed to what was going on in their heart. And then he talks about them worshiping him. He is, you know, he is acknowledging, but they're doing it in vain in this sense. They're teaching doctrines. They're teaching doctrines. Jesus, the real one, is right there in their midst, and they're not seeing him. They're not seeing who he is. They're not understanding that he is one of the Godhead of the Trinity. They're not. They're barely acknowledging that he's a quote unquote good teacher. And what they do when they teach is they teach doctrines. The doctrines of, well, he says teaching for doctrines or teaching doctrines or. There is this disconnect that's going on while Jesus is with them and among them, and there's a missing of him on any kind of a true heart level. In fact, that's what he says, but their heart is far from me. So they're not with him on a heart level. And, you know, I mean, you know, if I'm going to teach, I'm going to talk about the heart. And I'm going to talk about that the Lord wants our heart first, and that the Lord, that we want to understand his heart, because without understanding his heart, then we will misread his words that are written in the Bible. And we will. We'll do that regularly. So, all right. So let's talk about the Bible definition of hypocrites. That comes from a hypocrite back then was a person who played in a play and they wore a mask and they would play the part of somebody and they were called hypocrites. It wasn't the same meaning today. We say somebody is a hypocrite who says one thing and does another, or doesn't live up to, you know, what their religion is or whatever. But Jesus was more identifying them in terms of this sort of an actor thing. In fact, let me just read Let me just read that paragraph that you can hear it. We call a hypocrite one who says one thing but does another, but it is more than that, according to Jesus. The word he uses is taken from actors who put on a stage performance wearing masks. Remember one of the titles? God said, I'm so over these masks. They're portraying a character that is not them. Jesus is saying that a hypocrite is one who is acting one way before the people, but is really another way on the inside. And you get that idea when Jesus said those words, this people draweth nigh unto me. They're drawing near with their mouth, and they are honoring him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So, nowadays, we talk about hypocrites in this way. Somebody, let's say an unbeliever is at work, and this other guy who's supposedly a Christian and always talking about being a Christian is also works at the same place. And the unbeliever sees inconsistencies in their quote-unquote our testimony, okay? They don't see him living that. If it was your neighbor, maybe you'd see him once a week. If it was somebody that you worked with, you would see that five times a week, and you would just go, man, this is really bad. But God sees that. God sees our masks every day, all the time. And I wrote down, and worse, he gets to see their hypocrisy at its height on the Lord's Day, meaning Sunday. That, you know, we think it's rough seeing that somewhere, but it's even worse on the Lord, because he's seeing that when they come to his house. And that may be when they're putting on the mask most of all. Well, so in thinking about that, I wrote down, but we know that God is gracious. Yeah. He can put up with a lot. Amen. He will also graciously intervene in our lives if we're being a hypocrite or for, you know, that. He will intervene to draw us back to himself. I wrote down, for example, after years of wearing a mask in church, God may allow his spirit to move in such a way that the hypocrite may be touched by God in a very special way. Okay? And that's wonderful. But remember, I told you that an unbeliever has to view that hypocrite if he's working with him five times a week or whatever. And then I told you that God has to see it every moment of every day, but it being especially odious on Sunday in his house. If we believe that that's his house, if we really understand that. So my question was, hypocrisy go on forever? Okay. Hypocrisy can go on forever. There's no end to the hard-headedness of man. Okay, so imagine this. Imagine the fact that God has to view all of us in that, over the whole world, all hypocrisy, not just, you know, at work or da-da-da-da, not just at church, but all the time he sees these masks that we're wearing of hypocrisy. And I put, imagine the fact that God has to view all of the hypocrisy of mankind from all over the world, which is massively constant and never ceases. So what if God got fed up? What if God got fed up? What if God was thinking, I am so over these masks? So look at today now. Look at the pandemic. Look at the situation with everybody having to wear masks. Look at our frustration over having to wear a mask. I wrote down, consider our frustration of having to wear a mask during the pandemic. And you hear a lot of it. it's not really a difficult thing to do as much as it is inconvenient. It makes it harder to breathe and keeps people from seeing how really gorgeous we are. See, this is just so bad that we have to wear these masks so that people can't really see how just extremely gorgeous we are, and it's so hard on us. Oh, my Lord. I wrote down, it's not like bearing the cross of Christ. The mask isn't all that heavy compared to the cross he was bearing. One of the really painful things about crucifixion was that it restricts your airflow, and it's really, really difficult to breathe. You feel like you're suffocating. Being crucified with Christ certainly prevents people from seeing how gorgeous we are in our painted-on hypocrisy. See, now we're talking about spiritually. I think God is so over these masks that we constantly put on. I do. I think he's so over them. So my subtopic I used up there was, why does God have us all wearing masks? Why does God have us all over the world wearing masks? Is he trying to tell us something? Could it be that he's seeking to show us how petty we are? Fighting over a little mask when we should be taking up a cross, when we should be going into deaths all the time. Or beyond that, how far, or is he trying to show us how far from living by Christ crucified, and how far we are from determining not to know anything else but Christ and him crucified? Is he showing us that if a little mask can cause rebellion, then what is the Lord going to bring on us next? If we're rebelling against that. And finally, is God so over these masks of claiming Christ as our life while constantly being something else in our reactions and our attitudes and where we spend our time? So these questions are put in light of, what if God is making us wear masks and showing us, hey, see what this is like? This is what you look like to me. Always faking it, always doing this, always not, you know. And what if he really is getting to a place where he's so over these masks. That's the phrase people use when they don't want to wear the mask during the pandemic. When he's fed up. He's tired of it. And he's saying, okay, like little children that want your way, you know, and want all this kind of stuff, well, I'm gonna just mess with you a little bit and see how you handle that. I wrote, is he making us all wear these masks as a warning of worse things to come? I don't know. But, you know, you get a feeling, I mean, not all of us on here are from the United States, but you get a feeling when, you know, out west, you're having wildfires on a scope that's never been before. Thousands upon thousands of acres are being scorched, wiped off of the face of the earth. And then on the East Coast, you've got hurricanes that have never had that many hurricanes hit the United States ever. And then in the middle of all of it, everybody's in the middle of a pandemic. Is it possible that God is like, look, I'm sick of your masks, you know? You think you're sick of that mask wearing that? I'm sick of your mask. Let me read that sentence again. Is he making us all wear these masks as a warning of worse things to come if we don't make a determined refocus of who and what we claim to be? I mean, it's, you know, in the life that we had before the pandemic, before we had the wildfires also at the same time, before we had all of the hurricanes going on at the same time, and more, the political situation. Before all that, it was easy to just kind of seek the Lord if you wanted to, or you know, think about much of a change. But what if he puts us in a situation where we're going to be confronted with either change or, you know, I don't know. I'm no prophet. I'm not a prophet. But the one thing that I do believe, and it doesn't matter if Randy Nussbaum believes this or not, and I know some people feel that way, and it doesn't bother me, you know, is that this pandemic is here, and probably everything else, because God wants this to be a time of preparation for what is to come. Now, we could think negative of what is to come, is like, we got to be prepared, you know, we got to start storing up food and stuff. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about storing up the life of Christ and the fullness of Christ and the attitudes of Christ and the mask coming off and the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus shining forth upon us. And it may be a new day, but it may be only a new day for those that have done the preparation so that he can release people instead of just, oh, good, everything's back to what they were before, and everyone can keep their masks on, not their pandemic masks. Those will be gone, and we'll all be happy, and things have returned back to what was horrid for God. Can you imagine? I'm going to close real quick. I know we're getting short here. But can you imagine if, like, the pandemic seems so hard to us? But what if before the pandemic, the way we were to God was so bad and ugly and hard to stomach that he went, I just got to do something here. He's not going to want us to go back to what was hard on him. Lord, get us out of this. It's hard on us. Take us back to what's really hard on you. No, I don't want that. I'm not praying that. I'm praying, Lord, whatever it takes to get us where we need to be in tune with your heart. In fact, that's a prayer, so I'm just going to pray. Father, it's just whatever you can do, help us enter that preparation time to be in tune, to be in touch, to be present with you, to have you present with us at all times and not just living our lives and soaking in the goodnesses of you all around us, all the blessings. Lord, I'm not praying that it'll be rough. I'm praying that we will want to change and want to tune in and want to go for you with passion without external pressures that would cause us to go to that. I would rather our hearts just turn and cry out for you, Jesus, for you, for your heart in us, for your life in us, for nothing else, not just the kingdom of God, not just that, but seeking the kingdom first and foremost to fill up these vessels during the time of preparation. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not bring this just on condemnation to people, but, Lord, by your Spirit, the way he's on me, to be upon us so that we can realize the old words that are said over and over, the time is short, that we can realize, even if you're, Lord, that our hearts would want you. And Father, I pray that next week when I share part two, that there will have been a receiving of this in preparation for something else that you want to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, still glad I came. I love you guys with all my heart. I pray for you. I almost do nothing else but pray and seek the Lord in the Word so that we could feast on Him and not doctrine like Jesus talked about. So that our hearts would not be far from Him. That our lips would not speak as if we are close to Him. May He rearrange us in a beautiful way in His image. God bless you, folks. Bye-bye.